Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Friday edition of The Drive on the road. We are at Moe's Original Barbecue here at Bent Creek. Love to see you out here if you can. If you can't make it, you can join us. But, I mean, we've got all kinds of incentives for you to be out here. There are all kinds of specials, including, it's 4 o'clock now, yeah, Bushwhackers, $3 till 9 o'clock. So, I mean, some great deals. Bill, Dan.
Hey, Bill.
How you doing, man?
Doing all right. It's a... I was bracing
it's
to be.
It's a little toasty.
Well, I was bracing to be on the patio. I guess that fell through, or we decided.
Wiser heads or whatever or something prevailed, because I was thinking about it, but I checked at the, right at the beginning of the show, of on the line to make sure to listen to, see where Jacob and Uncle T-Bone were, and was thrilled to hear that. That there was room inside. So we're just inside here, Moe's Original Barbecue. Yes, The Drive here, courtesy of the good folks at Sensegreen. You know, keep your air cool and clean. Call Sensegreen.
Yeah, shout out to Sensegreen. Really appreciate, they've taken this show and on the line on location a couple of times now. So shout out to the very good folks there at Sensegreen.
Yeah, let's also welcome in, I mean, Don Dunn, who is... I guess you had nothing better to do this afternoon. No, we're great to have you with us, Coach.
Thank you. Great to be here. Got a great crowd, a nice place. My wife's enjoying
T-Bone, you taking all the T-shirts? Okay. Oh, okay. Well, absolutely. Got to definitely outfit them. But we've got, we have some ESPN 106.7 T-shirts just for the asking. Come on in, and we'll set you up with one of those. Again, we'd Thank love you. For you to join us here at Moe's Original Barbecue. Bill, Dan, and Don. And if you can't make it out or if you can't make it out just yet, we'd love for you to give us a call on The Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. That number, 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840 on The Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts.
Yep. All right. So quite a few things going on. Of course, Father's Day weekend, the U.S. Open going on at Pinehurst. And right now you've got Patrick Cantlay and Ludwig Åberg tied at 5-under, both of them through 11, and a group at 4-under. Maybe the biggest story of the day, though, is appears that Scottie Scheffler is not going to make the cut.
Yeah, I mean, a frustrating day. I guess there was club violence.
Yes,
for Scottie Scheffler. You know, as
he can afford it, but yeah. I mean,
you know, and it's been it's been an eventful year for that guy, right?
Oh,
he's been winning tournaments.
Kidding.
He's become a father. He got arrested. Like, it's been a busy, last couple of months for Scottie Scheffler.
Thanks.
And maybe
right.
in an extremely cerebral game where your focus is paramount, maybe it was it boiled over a little bit for a guy, even a guy who's been playing as well as anyone in the sport.
Oh, yes.
It boiled over a little bit for him today, and he's not going to make the cut.
Yeah, so we'll keep you updated on the U.S. Open as we continue through here. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise on this Friday? And as I said, it's Father's Day weekend.
I think my Bruin is going to get it done, Bill. I think Patrick Cantlay could hold on and win this thing. We'll see. I mean, but he's been steady so far. Bryson is right there too.
Yeah, he's one of the group at 4-under.
Folks, I know Jacob picked Rory as I was walking in. So, yeah, it's should be an exciting next couple of days as some of the biggest stars. Scheffler not going to be in that mix, but some of the biggest stars in the sport. It's been a long time. I don't know off the top of my head. It's been a while since Rory has actually won a major in golf. I think it's been 10 or 11 years. He's consistently, you know, he comes off the board as one of the top five or six in the odds, and he's had a lot of top 10 finishes, but to actually seal the deal on one, and he's, I think he's already in pretty rarefied air as far as he has four or five of them in his career, and there aren't that many guys that even won that many. So, you know, Rory still has a chance to add to the list and get, you know, pretty high up there all time, but you know, a 10-year break in the middle of your prime isn't ideal.
That's one of the few sports you can get by with not winning for 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, you can hang in there. It's one of those sports where, you know. Yeah.
He won a tournament a while back, but it wasn't a major, about a month ago. But I don't know what it was. I'm not a big golf guy. I like the Masters and the big ones.
The majors.
But I'm not very, and I'm terrible at it.
You're not alone. There are quite a few of us that are in that club.
Just, you know, that's a skill that I never, you know, the golf swing is a thing, and I admire people who focused, you know, and developed that skill set and have a smooth, seemingly effortless golf swing. But in mine, I look like Bambi on ice, Coach. You know, it's just nothing. Nothing looking steady.
I know.
When I try to swing one of those things.
Baseball
bat, I was okay.
There's a lot of difference there.
Not pretending I was, you know, calling anyone out saying I was better than them, but I was okay. I could go to the bat. I'm not as lost at the batting cage as I would be at the driving range.
Nor am I. It looks like North Carolina has just walked off Virginia the first game of the College World Series. North Carolina, one of the four ACC teams in there. As a matter of fact, it's crazy. In one side of the bracket, you have three ACC teams in Tennessee. The other side of the bracket, you have three SEC teams. Who is the ACC team on that side?
NC State? Is it Florida?
Maybe Florida State.
It's Florida State or NC State because these two are on the same side of the bracket playing each other. So it would be one of the other two.
Yeah, but anyway, game one is done with North Carolina advancing to the winner's bracket. Virginia falling 3-2 as Carolina pushes across a run in the bottom of the ninth. Some baseball.
You got Tennessee in this thing ultimately.
I think so. Yeah, I think that's what most people do. Little baseball transfer portaling news. Auburn picking up a pair of brothers. Mm-hmm. They get Samuel Dutton from LSU, pitcher who in his freshman year was in the rotation for LSU. The year before Paul Skeens was there, he was in the rotation for LSU and pitched very well. Tex texted me as soon as he saw that and said he's got great stuff. His numbers, he struggled a little bit the last couple of years, but he's going to be in the mix for a weekend rotation spot for Auburn. Auburn also adding his brother, who was a middle infielder at Birmingham Southern, who we just talked about with John Cohen yesterday. Of course, the doors are closing there at BSC, and they made a valiant run there in the postseason as well. Andrew
started 50 games for Birmingham Southern this
really
season.
Really good year this year.
Led the team with a .340 average, you know, bring some veteran middle infield help to Auburn and maybe someone who can step in and start at a couple of spots, depending on where Auburn needs production. But the Dutton brothers, it sounds like bad guys in a Western, right?
It sort of does.
Coach, I mean, the Dutton, where Auburn's bringing in the Dutton brothers.
Like and they Yellowstone.
Sound, yeah, they sound like bandits on the run from, you know.
Gunsmoke.
Yeah, they're not welcome.
Young
on,
guns.
They're hiding out on the Ponderosa.
Right, with Hoss.
Or something. But instead, no, they're going to come in and fortify this baseball team. And it is amazing. Just a day after we talked to John Cohen and Bill asks him about his alma mater closing its doors and the uncertain future of the baseball players.
That was a great interview yesterday, by the way, guys.
Oh,
well,
thank you.
He's easy to talk to. Yeah. I mean, you really very appreciate impressive. It when there's somebody you ask them a question, they'll give you we'll give you an in-depth answer.
Right.
And he can't really, for obvious reasons, and it's not like there's anything stopping him. It's just I don't think he knows the direction of the industry or some of those, you know, some of those clouds hanging over the future of the sport. But with real, with stuff pertaining to Auburn, I thought the stuff about the scoreboard, I thought the stuff about specifics in the baseball program and why he thinks they can turn it around and become successful again.
Yeah.
The Beard Eves Coliseum answer.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I thought there was some cool stuff there from John Cohen. Really appreciate.
Yeah.
And thanks to who did we work through to get to get that one? Thanks to everybody in the athletic department for helping us out there.
Kirk got us the number, but yeah, we contacted a few, Lee Van Horn and Kirk.
And Ben, because I'm a company man, I will promote that Ben Taylor will talk to Nick Kleinard on Monday. That's going to be on Auburn Opelika this morning.
Right.
National champion men's golf coach Nick Kleinard is going to join Ben. We may rerun that at some point.
Yeah, we have the opportunity.
Next week
definitely.
If we have the time. But check that out on Monday on Auburn Opelika this morning.
And speaking of John Cohen yesterday, I mean, there are a couple of what you can check out the podcast from yesterday, and it's right at the beginning. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had John Cohen right at the beginning of the show.
He did not want to wait. You know, we were ready to take some calls and, you know, mix in John Cohen, but he was ready to go at the top of the show. Busy guy. Sounded like something else was going on in the background there.
I couldn't tell what he was working on.
He was walking or typing, but yeah, I mean, John, you know, but he made some time for us, and I thought it was really cool to hear some of his big picture ideas about where this is headed.
It was really good. Really
Thank
good.
You.
Absolutely. I was thinking, all right, we haven't really done this in a while, but it's Father's Day this Sunday. So if you've got a memory with your dad, it would be great if it's sports related, but it doesn't have to be. Mm-hmm. But
we haven't done this in a while. I feel like we worked this in on Thursday or Friday most Father's Day weekends.
I think we missed last year.
Okay, maybe we did.
But we've done it quite a few times.
Because I always enjoy it.
It's always fun. Yeah, I will go ahead and throw one in. I don't think I've mentioned this one.
It gives me a chance to tell one of my favorite stories.
Yeah, I don't think I've mentioned this one in quite a while. It's as I was all right. First, let me set the scene for you a little bit. My dad was a ship's captain for Likes Shipping Company.
Wow.
And so he would be gone for 2.5 months or so as they'd go either to Japan or Europe or Asia. I mean, they'd be he had a combination, one of those huge tankers, but it was a tanker / passenger ship, so they'd have some passengers, but they'd be carrying a lot of cargo. Anyway, he'd be gone for quite a while, and I had a growth spurt when I turned 16, and went from like 5'10", 5'11", to 6'2", almost 6'3".
Yeah,
and I'd made the high school basketball team, and Dad was a huge basketball fan. That was his main sport. He really, really loved it, watched it, and I remembered him having a pretty good, like, set shot. Mm-hmm. Okay? But he was only like 5'9".
Yep.
All right, so I had that growth spurt, and I thought, when he comes home, I'm going to take it to the old man. I'm going to show him what I've got. And I mean, you know, I wasn't obviously acting that way with him, but I mean, he came home and we had the basketball goal out in the backyard, and I said, hey, you know, Dad, you want to shoot a little bit? And it's like, oh, well, yeah, he's, you know, I'm a little rusty. I hadn't had a chance to shoot on the ship and all this stuff like that. And he took me out back and just absolutely embarrassed me. I mean, I did not realize what a good ball handler he was.
Yeah.
And we were like playing one-on-one, and he'd just take the ball away from me and lay it in. Take the ball away, back up, shoot, and hit. I mean, I could shoot pretty well.
Yeah.
I was not the best ball handler in the world. So hats off. Mm-hmm. I mean, Dad's been gone for a good while now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he loved that. He loved his basketball. And I really wish now that he'd had a chance to see Auburn basketball over the last 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
Because he passed in 03. Mm. And, I mean, Auburn had a couple of good years, you know, with Cliff. But it was they were like sort of few and far between.
Right.
Right. And my, you know, my dad, basketball, not really his sport, although he's come to appreciate it more living post-retirement, living in the area, going to some Auburn games.
Right.
It's more of his sport than it was for a long time. Big tennis guy, going to the U.S. Open later this year. Going to go up to New York and and check out the U.S. Open.
Flushing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. See that. Which is, I think he did that. He did that his first year after retirement with my stepmom, and they had a blast, and so they're gonna go do it again. I'm told that's a fun trip to make if you.
That's what
you
I've heard.
A reason to go visit New York possibly, but yeah, we went so when I would see my dad, especially while he was active duty, you know, he would try to work in activities and go. We would go do things, see things, and we'd go to Braves games. On occasion, when he was here, or we'd find a reason excuse to go to Atlanta, and you didn't believe me when I told you this, Bill, but it's the truth.
No, you're going to tell me the McGriff story?
We went.
Yeah, have you heard this, Don?
No.
We went to.
At least he's consistent with it. He tells it all the time.
Fulton County. I could, my dad will verify this.
I believe it.
We went to a Braves game during a trip to Atlanta. And it was the first day, it was the day the Braves had acquired Fred McGriff via trade.
Yep.
Happened to also be the day that Fulton County Stadium caught fire.
Yeah, Don, reminiscent of the LSU game that Auburn had.
I believe a sterno in, officially, I think everybody assumed it was cigarette related at the time.
Yeah.
Press box cigarette related, but it was a sterno in catering had... You know, turned into a caught a tablecloth or something on fire, and that had turned into a thing, and it delayed the game by multiple hours, and hot, humid July evening, and the postscript, the part of the story I don't like telling is that because I was a kid and because we were delayed, I got dehydrated and wanted to leave, and I think it's probably nonsense, but it does seem like. We would go back and watch the rest of the game on TV, and they would show the crowd, and it was totally full except the five empty seats. Or maybe it was like a home run was hit right to those five empty. You know, insert the best version of that story. The Braves did come back and win.
Yes, they did.
After we left that night. And I want to say McGriff homered in his... In his Braves debut. That part could be me trying to remember after.
I wouldn't doubt it.
32 years. Hall of Famer, Fred McGriff, as a matter of fact, newly minted Hall of Famer. Is that this summer or was that last? I forget if that was last summer or this summer.
I don't remember where McGriff
actually officially gets to go in, but he was selected by that committee earlier. So, got to go. You know, that's a fun one. And you think it's like one of the cool things about baseball. You never know. You never know what you're going to get, you know. Even though there have been a million Major League Baseball games, you never know what might
happen.
Every
game, there's a chance that something happens.
They could win, they could lose, stadium catch fire.
Yeah.
It's all on the table.
So if you have a memory with your dad, again, sports related as a bonus, but I mean, it's a great time to do it as we're here on the Friday of Father's Day weekend. All right. Bill, Dan, and Don, we're coming to you from Moe's Original Barbecue here on Bent Creek. Love for you to stop by and join us here on the Friday Drive.
Cody Dykes and the team.
And 106.7 online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Friday afternoon as we come to you from Moe's Original Barbecue here at Bent Creek. Some delicious items on the menu. They've got some great specials, including $3 Bushwhackers till 9 o'clock. I see a few folks taking advantage.
I was going to say, I see a couple of folks also pushing the Bushwhacker button. Fairly early on a Friday afternoon.
It's a great day for it, hot as it is.
Man, it is. It really is. And that sort of leads into, I was going to tell a little story. We are here courtesy of the good folks at Sensegreen for cool, clean air. Call Sensegreen. But here's it's an experience with Sensegreen my son, and their fairly new house, just 2 weeks ago, their AC stopped working.
Oh, no.
He calls me and says, "All right, Dad, what can I look for?" And I said, "Well, it depends on the kind of unit." I said, "The first thing you want to look for, it's either going to be a fuse or a switch that's tripped. Look and see." And it's like he was in there and he said, "I don't see a fuse." And I said, "Well, then it's probably a switch of some type." And I said, "A fuse I could probably help you with. The switch, no, I'm not going to mess with that. I mean, I'll do some very, very simple things with electricity, but I'm not gonna mess with a whole lot." Call Sensegreen. This was over the weekend. Call Sensegreen. They got out and got it taken care of so that they didn't have to, I mean, literally burn up. I mean, because
over the weekend, that's great.
Yeah, I mean, that really is. So
that's service.
So yes, we are appreciative of Sensegreen, as is my son Matt and his family.
No, that's a terrible feeling. I've had when the AC or the heating goes out and it's Friday afternoon,
yep,
and you know it's like, well, this isn't a couple hours problem. This isn't it's getting fixed in the morning.
And you know it always does that.
A hunker down situation.
It almost always does that. It happens either overnight or on the weekend. Generally because you're there and you're pushing the unit a little bit more than if you're not home.
There was a summer day a couple of years ago, early in the in the partnership with Bagwell, you know, where the AC, the AC stopped working. And we were putting coolers full of ice in front of fans, mm-hmm, and you know, and making it work.
Do what
that
you can,
way,
but
you know, doing what you can.
I've done that or been on the other side where you open the stove and try to.
Oh yeah,
everybody gather around the stove.
Set the oven to cold.
Either way, it's not fun. And yeah, it is going to be a hot weekend. It's mid 90s today. Going to stay that way, mid to upper 90s. It looks like for the next couple of days. We'd love for you to join us here at Moe's Original Barbecue here at Bent Creek. If you can't make it out, give us a call on the Drive Hotline, 334-321-1390. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise, or if you've got a if you have a story you'd like to pass along about Dad with Father's Day coming up on Sunday.
You know, Bill, my dad was a weekend golfer. Like I said earlier, I was terrible. And he tried to teach me the etiquette of golf. And I remember I was with him. I was young. And we're playing with a foursome of his, you know, business partners,
uh-huh,
and clients. And I was just running around out there. So this guy's getting ready to putt. So I just run right across in front of him. And he had me under the arm off the ground. And he took me over and gave me a lecture about golf etiquette. So I learned a good lesson.
Oh yeah, that's something that would be more than a little distracting and upset some folks. I believe we've got Tex on the Drive Hotline. Tex, how you doing? Do we have Tex with us? Tex said he's on the line. I got it. That's pretty funny. I didn't get a text from Drew saying
no,
we
Drew
had a
didn't
call.
Think there was a caller. I mean, I didn't hear it from Drew. I guess.
We
did not hear Tex.
Maybe Tex had to go. Tex was connected. But again, a reminder that when you're calling in now, Drew isn't able to pick up the phone and answer it. You'll just be automatically connected.
Yeah, but if Drew doesn't know when a caller's on the line, we have a big problem.
Then he won't bring them up on the air.
Yeah,
that's right.
Because not everyone has the luxury of texting us personally.
That is right.
Like Tex just did.
Well, you
and saying,
well,
I'm
here's,
on hold.
Here's all we got to do. We'll give you Dan's personal
number. No, we won't.
And you can text Dan.
You did that to a couple of callers, and it was a couple of years ago. We don't, we won't do that. That may be an issue if Drew doesn't know when there's a call.
No, you're absolutely
right. That could be something we might have to work through that one.
Right. So
it's not anything Drew's doing wrong. It is if the call goes straight to the board without Drew having to push a button.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, when it does that, I wonder, does it stay lit? I'm not sure of that. So we'll check with Drew here at the bottom.
There's also the issue that we couldn't hear Tex if he was on the phone. just now, right? Like, we did. We tried to go to text and couldn't hear anything. There's also, not just
I know the phones were working. The phones were working a while ago, so I'm not terribly concerned about that.
Sorry, Tex.
Yeah, all right. You can try it again, Tex, and we'll see if we can get you on. 334-321-1390, that is the Drive hotline. As we mentioned, the College World Series underway. North Carolina winning game one today over Virginia, I believe. Tex said he called the toll free number.
He shouldn't do that. Tell me he's the regular number.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
He said he was able to listen though when he called it. It hooked him in. Well, we probably ought to take that off the liners.
All right. Well, Drew says we have a caller. Let's try it again. Caller, right. You are on the air.
Coach Dunn, can you hear me?
Hello.
Hello. Do we have somebody with us on the line?
Coach Dunn, can you hear me?
I don't know. I tell you what, it's about time for our bottom of the hour break. We will see if we can get this straightened out. Tell you what, make it easier. Stop in, holler at us here at Moe's Original Barbecue as we continue here with the Friday Drive.
Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
All right, we can actually amend that a little bit.
That's right.
As we now realize what folks listening were realizing. Yeah. And that is, the callers were on the air. We just could not hear them.
Yeah.
So we will have to pass on phone calls today.
I mean,
it'd be pretty difficult for us to have a conversation when we can't hear.
Or we could do, and again, this is all related to the electrical storm a couple weeks ago. It jarred our equipment and the Comrex. First time we've tried a show on location since the storm.
Yeah, and it's great to be out.
Yeah,
great to be on the air.
Great to be on the air. Sorry that it's not really playing nice with the phone lines. We could do it like when an athlete who doesn't speak English is doing an interview.
Drew the interpreter. Is that what you're talking about?
Drew could then relay the gist of the call to us, and we could. But we're not going to do it that way. We're just going to make do with the with the outstanding cast and crew we have on site here at Moe's on Bent Creek, where they've got Bushwhackers till 9. $3 Bushwhackers till 9, live music. Great place to watch game 4 of the NBA Finals tonight.
They've got TVs all around right now. We've got the U.S. Open going on. There was Major League Baseball, the College World Series.
Finals feel kind of over, Bill.
We'll see. Yeah,
kind of feels over.
I would say three zilch.
Mavs had their chance. It was a game one when they were down 29. They cut it back to 8. You know, if they could have gotten that a little bit closer, maybe it's a more interesting series. Luka was barbecued defensively in game 3, and then picked up fouls. You can't, as a star, like as a guy your team needs, you got to be so careful picking up foul 5 and foul 6 in a must win game, and Luka. He's taking a lot of heat for the star player on a finals team, but his offense has been outstanding at times in this series. Big reason why the reason they're there.
Absolutely,
but he's also been someone the Celtics are attacking over and over again defensively, and it was really on display in Game 3.
Yeah, so Game 4 coming up tonight, and again they'll have it on here. A little later on this evening, the U.S. Open, Ludwig Oberger now moving into the lead. 2-under on the day, 6-under on the tournament. He is through 13. Patrick Cantlay now a shot back. He's still at 5-under, and he's also through 13.
Cantlay, you got a Bryson there in the leaderboard as well. Tony Finau nearby. Rory is just back of the rest of the leaders as well. So some of the big stars still in the picture. Cantlay, DeChambeau. Auberg's been amazing today.
Yep.
But I would say Cantlay, DeChambeau, Rory. Still want to see if Morikawa can get back into it. You need to play really well tomorrow.
Hideki Matsuyama with the round of the day, a 4-under. I mean, you're not seeing an awful lot of low scores.
Oh, they were saying at the end of On the Line how some of these guys that are that aren't going to even make the cut were really good today but buried themselves in such a deep hole yesterday. You got someone shooting 68, not making the cut. Someone shooting 67, not making the cut.
Like you only got 17 players under par right now.
Remarkable.
17 players under par.
There's Tiger Woods right there. He's at 6-over. It's becoming.
Tiger was 4-over heading into his final nine today and looked like, well, if he was able to stay there, he'd be able to make the cut. But the projected cut, I believe, is still 4-over.
Becoming, I mean, it's great to see him, you know, out and playing after a long period of inactivity. It does feel like it's going to be a very special occasion when he can actually compete. For four rounds. I'm not ruling it out ever again because, you know, medicine's amazing these days. but it does feel like, you know, and I guess that gets back to Rory. You know, there could be a time later on in Rory's life where he's thinking, you know, whatever was keeping him from getting over the hump. Look, it's hard to win a major. You know, I couldn't tell you. But it seems pretty difficult. Rory is one of the best golfers in the world. Hasn't won one in over a decade, and if you know if he ever you know breaks this slump, he might be thinking, you know, what a missed opportunity to not cash in more of them when I was in my prime for however long. Golfers can have longer primes. Golfers can win later in life. Maybe it was valuable learning experiences, you know, for Rory this window of where he's been good but unable to win a major. You know, we'll see, but he's in the mix with the top guys right now.
Again, we're at Moe's Original Barbecue here with the Friday edition of The Drive, and want to get and let's see, we've got time to go ahead and get in here. One of the things that we've been talking about, it's still a very, very busy time right now as far as football recruiting. Camps are done, a lot of official visits coming in. I believe Auburn's got about a dozen players visiting this weekend. Don, when you think back on summers and the camps and players, what were some of the things that you enjoyed the most or the least about summers as far as with camps and those type things?
Well, I tell you, when we would go over to the intramural fields and it would rain, and we'd be standing ankle, you know, deep mud. That was unpleasant. But we enjoyed it. You tried back then. That was an opportunity to get some good players in.
Right.
Because you couldn't have official visits at this time.
Right. It was just camps.
Yeah, I mean, we really tried to get, especially for our senior camps, our one-day camps, the top prospects, especially in Alabama and Georgia. And we pretty much knew through spring evaluation the ones that we wanted to get there. But you were also battling other schools for that little window of when the camps were. I also remember right after our camps in about the middle of June, that was kind of our time off, which they don't have anymore.
Oh, yeah.
And we would usually have to be back the weekend after the 4th of July, then we would start in our prep for the fall. But now, like you said, they're having official visits on the weekends. I think we still have Big Cat Weekend coming up.
Yeah, that's coming up the end of July. Now, there is a break. There's a dead period from June 24th till July 24th. But, I mean, that there's still contact. It's just not – you can't have it face-to-face.
Right. But I enjoyed the camps. I enjoyed having all the coaches. You know, we used to have tons of high school guys work our camps, and we took great care of them. Terry Price, you know, and I would cook for them.
Oh, yeah.
At somebody's house. I mean, we would cook barbecue, get stuff from countries, the sides. And those guys, some of them wouldn't go home. We had two guys in Mississippi. That was their vacation every year. I'm sure their wives didn't like that. But anyway, we enjoyed that. And Coach Tuberville, we never made a lot of money on camp because his deal was we're going to spend it on the high school coaches. So we paid them pretty well, put them up, fed them. And, you know, we ran like a four-day camp. Then we'd have like a passing camp, then a senior camp, called a prospect camp.
Is the thinking there that if you do that solid for the high school coaches, you know, they'll they'll feel not indebted, but they'll feel more warmly towards you.
It's all about relationships.
Sure.
And they're gonna help you, because instead of just ignoring them and not going to see them, they want to feel important. And Coach was real big on that in state coaches. And I used to have a bunch of guys from Mississippi where they would come over, Georgia. Hugh Nall would get a bunch of his buddies from Georgia. Yeah, it helped. It really helped with recruiting.
No, that's sharp. I'd never heard that before about,
I think Coach Freeze has done a good job of getting back into the Alabama high school.
Oh, yeah.
These guys take it personal now.
Sure.
If you don't show up and you don't come around and the head coach doesn't come around and you don't go to these, the convention, they rotate the high school state convention in Huntsville, Montgomery. You better be at that for 3 or 4 days. You better have your staff there, shaking hands, going to all these things. It's just so important to build the relationships. And they'll help you. I mean, they may not tell a kid where to go, but they can also hurt you.
Oh, that's right. If you don't if you don't make yourself visible to them, why should they go to the extra effort for you?
And make them feel important and welcome. And we did. I mean, they loved it. I mean, I still, to this day, have guys text me, "Hey, Coach, you remember when we did this?" And we used to take them to touchdowns at night and have all the wings
and
adult beverages. So it would kill us. I was dead after 2 weeks of camp.
Bruce Pearl has a camp going on. I think the team camp is going on yesterday and today. I've seen a lot of basketball, small groups of obvious basketball teams downtown.
There's a lot of camps going on.
I think the ladies camp's about to get started for Auburn football.
I saw there was a rock camp last weekend for the rock collections or something, geology or something.
Huh.
There's all kinds of
not
camps.
To be confused with the musical instrument camp, they'll do a rock.
Yeah.
Do a rock
no role.
And the band
rock.
Camps, the cheerleading camps. It's a great time for the campus and all the businesses and stuff.
First time I ever came to Auburn University, the cheerleading camp was going on.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, on top of
and
visiting.
That sold him.
It didn't hurt.
Right.
Auburn's candidacy in that situation where I was like, it's constantly like.
It's always like this.
Like armies of high school cheerleading squads are walking around the campus all the time.
You know, when we would have our
camps.
Yeah, they would be here when we have our football camps. So you always had a night of dorm duty where we had to stay in the dorm. That was hell. And trying to keep those nuts from going over to see the girls.
I wonder how many visits were scheduled by chance during that – during those two cheerleading camps that happened
smart,
during the summer.
Yeah.
Now, you were talking, and you'd have team camps, and then you'd have prospect camps, things like that. Do you have any memories of some guys that you might not have already been targeting that really wowed you at team camps? Because, I mean, you hear stories about those guys.
You know,
every year there's a player or two may not have either – because of injury or just because they're maturing, really step up.
Yeah.
And it's great when you can be one of the first, sets of eyes on a future prospect.
I don't know specific names, but I know there was some guys we would see and identify and really follow up on and say, hey, this guy, you could talk to him then. That was good.
Right.
Get their information and follow up. Yeah, but that was very common. At least one or two a camp. Yeah, that kind of shined.
Yeah, now
that
nowadays
you didn't know about them.
I mean, it still happens, even with all the websites and as many people following high school recruiting. There's still every year there are a few players that aren't on somebody's list. They aren't rated or whatever. They aren't ranked. And when that first school offers them,
that's important,
man. It's like a flock of buzzards. All of a sudden, everybody's
exactly,
all over.
Exactly. Also, you kind of want to keep it quiet. Like
that's right.
Because if that name got out, Alabama's going to know, Georgia's going to know. But that's funny. But back then, like you said, all we really had was Jason Caldwell and Brian Matthews. That's the only two guys I really knew that were into that. Now there's thousands.
Oh, there's so many. You're absolutely right.
And they helped us a lot, Brian and Jason.
Oh, I'm no doubt about that.
They could go out and see. And
they talked to them.
Yeah, and they'd call us and say, hey, this kid down at so-and-so, and they're pretty good evaluators.
Oh, yeah, there's no
really
doubt.
Good.
I mean, I count on count on Jason when I ask him who he's seeing, and he's out all the time.
I know.
Checking him out.
He'd call in, like, well, I've heard him on your show, going somewhere on a Friday afternoon out in the middle of nowhere. Yeah.
All right, we're having a great time here at Moe's Original Barbecue. It's Bill, Dan, and Coach Don Dunn. We're here at Moe's Original Barbecue at Bent Creek. Stop on in. They've got some great specials. Also, $3 Bushwhackers till 9.
And shout out to Sensagreen, right?
Absolutely.
For helping helping keep this whole thing on the air. Really appreciate them sponsoring On the Line and The Drive as we take the show on location.
We will get to our final break of hour number one. Stick with us here on the Friday Drive.
Cody Dykes and the team at
SuperAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back in. Friday edition of The Drive on location at Moe's, Bent Creek in Auburn. Just, right by Sam's Club here near the airport.
Yeah.
Academy.
Just right off across. The, what is it, 57, 58, the exit here?
58.
It's 57. Yeah, I think
it's 57. Yeah, that's right. It's 57. Yeah, it's 57.
But it's great.
That's right. There only used to be two. It's 51 and 57.
So it's great to be on location again. Sensagreen, really appreciate the folks at Sensagreen for air that's cool and clean.
Call Sensagreen.
That's they're helping us out here, and we're here at Moe's U.S. Open Day 2 and Game 4 of the NBA Finals tonight. They got the Bushwhackers deal. They got live music. A lot of cool stuff happening tonight.
College playoffs.
At Moe's.
A few minutes away from Florida State, Tennessee, as a matter of fact. That's the next game in the College World Series.
And a cool space. I had not been inside the Moe's in the Bent Creek Moe's in
it's pretty handy for us.
It had been a while.
We live over near Chewakla, so it's just a little shot down Ogletree.
Pretty convenient for me too, where I currently am.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
And you were saying the smoked wings.
They are delicious. I haven't had those in a while. I mean, that's a thought. May do that for Friday night. Again, we apologize. We're unable to take your calls today. The phones are working. However, with the situation that we have with the electrical storm over Memorial Day, while we're here on location, we can't hear the callers. We're going on the air. At least we hope we are. No, we're on the air. The calls can get on the air, but for some reason, we're unable to hear those. So we apologize for that today.
So part of the phones are working. The part that connects. Yeah, there's still
the phone works. It's just the phone. The ability for us to hear the phone calls when we're not in the studio doesn't work.
Yeah, that's the ticket. So, sorry we can't take your calls, but we're here at Moe's enjoying a beautiful Friday afternoon here in Auburn. And Bill, you mentioned it's gonna start. It's only getting hotter the rest of the summer, right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, that's the way it is every year. Try to stay hydrated and avoid the middle of a day in the sun. Actually, this is the hottest time of day. Really is. From 3 to 5 is the hottest time of day every day. So just beware of that. Be careful. And hopefully your AC is working. If not, call Sensagreen.
Oh, certainly. This is you know what? Hey, you probably should have called them already. If your AC is not working, I got to be honest with you.
But if it stops working.
Save, just like with Franklin, right? Save the number in your phone.
Oh, yeah.
Have the Sensagreen info. Have that name, branded on your brain so you know if something goes wrong, when something goes wrong with the AC. You need that fixed as soon as possible. And that's especially these next couple of months, because it is going to be dangerously hot in the Auburn Opelika area.
I think there's a very slim chance of rain over the next 7 days.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, we've actually we've had to water for the first time.
Turn the sprinklers
all,
on
all summer.
Have you seen South Florida? You know what's going on down with Fort Lauderdale it's not even a tropical depression or a storm or a hurricane. Just a nasty. You know, just a nasty mix of rain that sat over, you know, big parts of South Florida. 8-10 inches of rain in downtown Fort Lauderdale. It doesn't take a lot of rain to mess with Fort Lauderdale's to mess with the traffic situation in Fort Lauderdale. But yeah, it's you know, hopefully nothing like that. Even though it's gonna be hot here.
Yeah. All right, we're halfway done here on the Friday Drive. Once again, we're at Moe's Original Barbecue. Come on out and join us.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email TheDrive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Friday Drive. A beautiful, it is a hot one, Friday afternoon. Start of a Father's Day weekend, and we are on location at Moe's Original Barbecue here at Bent Creek. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn here in the building. Thank goodness. There was some talk that we'd be outside. Woo. I was going to say if they had us outside, I guess they could show you. Come by and see what it looks like if you don't have air conditioning. if you need Sensegreen.
You wanted to fry an egg on a couple of on-air personalities for your favorite sports talk radio station. You could come by and see what it looks like when we.
There goes the never let them see you sweat kind of thing. There's no way that could be avoided.
See what kind
if
of
we
zany,
were outside.
Yeah, see what kind of zany topics we talk about when we're all on the brink of hospitalization.
Heat stroke.
We're not doing that. we're comfortably inside here at Moe's, the very cool venue they've got here, the very cool dining space they have here at Moe's Original Barbecue on Bent Creek, just off exit 57. On the interstate, just right by Sam's Club and the airport. There's also a Moe's location downtown.
Right.
Got that one that folks frequent as well. And thanks to Sensegreen for hooking us up and getting us here on location tonight.
Absolutely. And I think we're going to talk to the man that is very responsible for us being out here as we continue here in hour number two of the drive. As we're talking day two of the U.S. Open, and let's see, as I turn, Ludvig Åberg still with the lead, and I've got a reflection
on
the
screen. Does that one not help?
Better.
I got six.
I was looking here. Six. He's six under.
Six under there for Åberg with Cantlay and Pavon behind him, DeChambeau, Tony Finau, Rory still right there. So some big names in the mix. At Pinehurst.
Yeah, none of these, double-digit to par, under pars that you see at a lot of places, not at Pinehurst.
No, and you've
thus
seen
some
good golfers cranking out real ugly scores.
Oh, you're right.
And running into problems. If you don't, Caldwell was saying this on Wednesday, Pinehurst is a course where, you know, if you can keep everything where it's supposed to go, you can put up a pretty high score. But the moment things go askew, the moment things veer off course, they just shoot.
Tight. Yeah, it is tight.
That's Cantlay, who was absolutely buried hitting one, underneath. You know, look to be about three.
He's hitting one out of the pine straw that the Duns have laid in their yard.
Yeah, he's hitting one out of a, you know, there's a bundle of pine straw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Underneath.
Like a bale.
Trying to hit out of it, and he couldn't do it. So. Yeah, some of the barriers around the fairways and greens at Pinehurst can really challenge even the best golfers in the world.
Yeah, and as a result, after we were looking last time I looked, there were 16 golfers under par. It looks like the cut is going to be plus four. Scottie Scheffler doesn't look like he's going to make it. He finished at plus five, and probably will need a new set of clubs. that's the way it is sometimes. It can be very humbling, no question about it.
Oh, yeah.
We'll keep you up on that. About to get underway, the second game of the College World Series. North Carolina walking off Virginia in the first game with a run in the bottom of the ninth, 3-2. Florida State, Tennessee about to get underway.
certainly. I like the chances of the top SEC teams. You know, I'm a little skeptical. And again, count out Florida at your own risk. I just saw, you know, too much evidence during the season showed me that Florida was probably a step below the other three SEC teams that made the College World Series. This year they've been playing very well in the postseason, but in the regular season, Florida was not quite at the level of those three teams. And I think, you know, ultimately in a sport like baseball, the evidence that you had from the regular season probably going to bear out with a decent-sized sample in Omaha. I'm with you, Tennessee. A&M and Kentucky are right there, though. They're both absolutely capable of winning it all.
Yeah, now it's interesting that you've got Florida and Florida State, North Carolina, NC State are four of the eight teams. I mean, with four SEC, four ACC teams here in the tourney.
There was a regional in Chapel Hill, too, remember? North Carolina had a good season as a baseball team, did not make it all the way to the College World Series, but NC State able to push it. Nice season for academic year for NC State, right? Tournament run in men's basketball.
Final Four.
And now you've got an NC State team, and here they are in the College World Series as well.
They had a decent football team, not great, but decent. I think bowl winners.
You know, I haven't trusted that program since Philip Rivers left, right, Coach? I
mean, yeah, let me tell you how smart we were. We told Philip Rivers to be a tight end.
Well, he had a funky motion.
And in your defense, you had Jason coming in.
Yeah, but still.
I mean, I get that. I mean,
and great family, great dad, you know, coaching family, great kid. Well, he's not a kid now, but that was tough.
He's another one of those guys where, and look, maybe he was a loyal enough dude that it wouldn't have been up in the air. But he felt like such a one-man team at times at NC State later in his career. You wonder in a transfer portal NIL era if Philip Rivers finishes his career at NC State or if there's a year or two where the SEC teams that passed on him in high school decide, hey, maybe the answer's elsewhere. And, you know, hey, Alabama was struggling to find a quarterback back then, Coach. That was early in the Croyle era, and they were going through some other guys.
Right.
He was a warrior because he was off. I mean,
big.
against Florida State and stuff, he'd be outmatched. Yeah. I mean, they had
talent wise,
yeah. but he'd do everything he could to keep.
Florida
him in.
State had all those great D linemen back then, secondary guys, linebackers. Wow, they could run. Woo. I think they're getting back to that a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I really do. I think Mike Norvell is definitely
he's a good coach.
I mean, there's something to be said for when you have an excellent team around a quarterback and the offense can sort of function and balance and all that. But it's fun to watch the Sandlot kid, right? You know, whether it's folk. I think that was some of the charm of Cam Newton.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, Manziel had a lot of that going on. And I think Philip Rivers, at times, you know, things would break down, and his ability to improvise, you know, with his legs and beat you with that stuff, but his ability to work his way until somebody could get open and he could get the ball to him, it was really something to see. I was not surprised at all that he had a 15, 17, you know, Hall of Fame caliber NFL career.
Now, is he coaching now?
I think somewhere he's in Mobile, coach, Mobile, right? Gulf Shores, right?
I
know he's a head coach in state. One. Yeah, he's.
I want to say it was a private school down in the Mobile Gulf Shores area.
Probably.
Yeah. He came right from playing to coaching.
Yeah.
But as you said, Don, I mean, he comes from a coach. His dad was a coach.
Good man. Good man.
All right, we're going to
St. Michael Catholic in Fairhope.
Oh, okay.
He's been the coach for a couple seasons.
Yeah, not kidding. Again, it is a big weekend for football recruiting. Auburn's got about a dozen players visiting this weekend, including three or four commits. I think it's four commitments that they have that are visiting this weekend.
I wonder if Rivers ever jumps to college. I wonder. I wonder if that's a guy who maybe he's content, just being,
I don't know,
being
with his dad, a long-time high school coach. Yeah. I've got a feeling he may stick with high school.
He made nine figures as an NFL quarterback. It's not necessarily a money thing with him. I think he can pursue his passion if he wants to. Maybe
enjoying
it's,
it.
Yeah, maybe
got
it's
family,
maybe it's,
young
maybe it's small
kids.
School. Maybe it's small school high school football.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Look. If a school in the Southeast hired quarterbacks coach or offensive coordinator Phillip Rivers, I'd say, oh, hey, that's he probably
I wouldn't
knows,
be shocked.
Probably
no,
knows
if somebody went that way.
He probably knows what he's talking about.
Right.
But he could also, you know, maybe quality of life. Mm-hmm. Is where you know where yeah. he thinks like maybe
I tell you that year I was out and worked at Auburn High, I loved it. Luckily, we had a good team. We lost to Prattville on a punt return to knock us
oh,
out.
Oh God, yes,
remember that?
Oh, yeah, I remember it.
But I enjoyed it. I really did, and I could see where you know, especially now with the portal, and that you have no time as a college coach now. If you've got young kids.
Yeah, it's much more about development. You talk about right. development, ooh. It's definitely at high school.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And you worry about these kids, you know, getting passed up like we've all talked about with, you know, how many of them are going to be recruited now out of high school with the portal and the transferring and all that. But, you know, there's always room for high school guys. You got to keep – I still think you have to build from the high school level.
Well, I think that's definitely Hugh Freeze's
yeah,
philosophy.
Yeah,
that, look at
yes.
look at what Kirby Smart's done at Georgia.
Right.
You do that, and you hope you can retain those players and show them that the opportunity's coming, that the opportunity to play in the at the next level is coming.
And
you
win.
Play them as soon as you can now,
right.
though.
Oh, yeah, you got to keep them happy.
You can't try to bank a bunch of kids and redshirt them.
Right.
You might be able to get away with a few, but these days you have to pretty much – if somebody can help you – you go ahead and put him out there
yes,
right now.
Yes. You know, and Dabo, I've heard him on some of these talk shows. That's all he does, basically, is the high school. Now, whether that's going to keep working for him, we'll see. A little pressure on him this year to be better.
I think so. I think so. I mean, it's not like Clemson was bad, but they haven't been the dominant
back like they
team
were.
That they were.
In the playoffs.
Absolutely.
Right. Quarterback's got to be the place where – it's most tempting to kick the tires on something else in the portal versus what you have right now.
I would think that and D-linemen.
D-line,
yeah. I mean, golly, you get one or two great ones, turns it around. And a quarterback, we all know that's the key.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that is, at any level, high school, pro, college.
And Auburn probably needed to replenish the D-line after last season, even in the aftermath. I mean, even if you'd been getting – I mean, what, Marcus and Justin Rogers are the two who were drafted, right? Marcus Harris and Justin mm-hmm. Rogers get drafted. I mean, even if you'd held on to those two, I think there was a belief that Auburn probably needed to go find production and more names in the portal. And after those two.
And they went out and got two of each.
Yeah.
They got two interior, two defensive tackles, two defensive ends.
And it's you know, I think that's something that's changed a little bit, Coach, in the – The way that, and I'd like your thoughts on, feels like running back and D-line have gone to let's lean on a committee or a rotation much more so than let's have a, you know, set three or four starters who are going to play the vast majority of the snaps or at running back. I think teams are lean, unless you have a superstar, teams are leaning away from let's have one guy who takes the vast majority of the playing time at running back.
Yeah, well, even if you have a superstar, you don't want to wear them out. I mean,
right.
and you have kids in college that don't want to, you know, use up all of their ability. They want to save something for the league.
Yeah, you're right. D lineman, you have to have a rotation. And it's changed, you know, over the last 10, 15 years with the no huddle, the hurry up offense. And it's just hard to keep them out there more than four or five plays and go 100%, especially when a hot season, you know. Well,
and if you're leaning on three or four guys and one of them gets hurt, I mean, that's a position that's a position where injuries are close to routine because of the nature of things.
Right.
You know, if you've got four defensive linemen you feel great about 3 weeks into the season, you could have two defensive linemen you feel great about.
You can't have enough, I don't think. You know, that's the position I coach. So I'm being
no,
you
know, no. You're,
you've seen what happens to teams that don't have enough,
right?
And it's so. I mean, we've said before, like if you can't, regardless
well,
of
if
how
you can't stop the run or put pressure on a quarterback, you're dead.
Regardless of how football changes, if you can't stop first and 10 up the middle.
Mm-hmm.
You're so like it's so over. Like yeah. it's it.
If
that's
you're
it.
Third
for you.
And short every time.
Yeah.
The averages are going to get you.
That's it for you. Yeah. And so yeah. And I think back to, and ironically enough, it was his last game as head coach, but that the Arkansas game in 22, when Auburn, I think it was the week before, Auburn had played three defensive linemen. The three. Remember, it was the year that Auburn. I mean, it was like the participation by defensive linemen was. I mean, Auburn was only playing. Colby Wooden was playing virtually every snap defensively, and Marcus was playing virtually every snap defensively. And when your defensive line participation is four guys, and Arkansas is coming in with Sam Pittman's offensive line and a couple of running backs and things like that, you're gonna get deep fried. Yep. And sure enough, I mean, there were teams that could threaten Auburn in 22 because they didn't have enough defensively. Not having much of an offense didn't help things.
No,
but when you can't sub defensively and feel good about who's going in, you're in huge trouble. I mean, it's the clearest illustration I can think of. Oh yeah, if you don't have enough on the defensive line, all the other stuff is you're the guys with the violins on the Titanic, right? Like it's going down. You can run whatever offense you want. You can blitz on every play, but it's like you're
good luck.
Yeah.
and we've talked about it. We've talked about it with you here in the past. I mean, you're recruiting a little different type players now on the defensive line because of the hurry up and the tempo of the games. You've got to have guys that are just maybe a little more athletic, a little more speed. You used to, at times, see guys that could be recruited as an offensive lineman, a big guy on the offensive line. It's like, well, if it doesn't work out, we can move him over to defense.
Right.
It's more the other way now. Yes. But if there's a big guy that doesn't work out, it better be somebody moving from defense to offense because you need the athleticism when you're going to play there on the defensive front. Obviously, you could use some guys in short yardage that you might not be put out there for every other down.
Even now, short yards and goal line, it's still mostly shotgun formations.
Right.
And, you're exactly right, Bill. We got away with, the Tommy Jacksons, the short, bulky kids, the Josh Thompsons. But, they were just exceptional players. And they could move, believe it or not. But you're right. Nowadays, you want the tall, athletic, lean that can come off the edge, change direction, block passes, drop if they have to. Yeah, it's a whole different animal now.
That's Coach Don Dunn, Bill and Dan along here at Moe's Original Barbecue at Bent Creek. We're here till 6 o'clock. Love for you to stop in. They've got some great, menu is great all around, but, I mean, we've got like an extended happy hour with $3 Bushwhackers till 9 o'clock here. Come on in and join us.
I still think they should change the Moe's smoked wings to Bill's smoked wings, your favorite thing on the menu. I have very few, it'd be really cool to have this or have that. I don't really, whatever happens, happens. having a sandwich named after you on a menu or something.
Oh, yeah.
That's
one of the ultimate, but would be what the ultimate tribute.
Yes, right.
Yeah,
absolutely. So anyway, maybe someday.
Yeah.
But Bill's smoked wings, I feel like would be a fair tribute.
They're good. They're not only good; they're good for you.
They're very good. Oh no, if you're looking for your healthier proteins,
absolutely.
The smoked wings from Moe's are right there, and they're outstanding as well.
We'll get to our first break of hour number two. Well, we'll take a look at the visitors that Auburn has coming in this weekend on the football side and much more. You can text us on the Drive text box, 334-564-1840. That's brought to you by Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
And if you missed any of yesterday's show, we talked about it a little bit earlier, but we talked with Auburn Athletics Director John Cohen, and he was outstanding. First segment of yesterday's show, check that out on the podcast. John Cohen for about a half hour. We'll try to rerun it if there's time next week, at some point. But check out the podcast presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. Auburn AD John Cohen talked to us for an extended chat yesterday.
All right, we'll be right back with more. Stick with us here on the Friday Drive.
since 1997.
Seven. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Will you go to the barber with the worst hair? Welcome back into The Drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill, Dan, and Coach Don Dunn here at Moe's Original Barbecue here at Bent Creek. Love for you to come on in and join us. Stop by and say hi. Again, we apologize with the problems with the phones. It's not that you couldn't call in and you couldn't get on the air. The problem was we couldn't hear the caller. So that's a bit of a problem. Of course, I guess you could just call in, rant, and then Drew could tell us they're done. And we just wouldn't have any knowledge of what they say.
But you should come.
That'd be a little dangerous.
You should come check it out here. Yeah, I'm not endorsing that plan. You should come check out Moe's here on Bent Creek. They've got live music tonight. They got $3 Bushwhackers until 9 p.m. They got the outstanding menu of food, including classic traditional barbecue items. Aren't your thing? I mean, they definitely have the pulled pork and the smoked chicken and the ribs, but you can also get the fried shrimp mo' boy, the catfish sandwich is quite good.
I have not tried the catfish. I've had a few people say that is that's something you must try.
Someone when we did the Observer food podcast last year, someone mentioned because I think in part because it's a barbecue place, you might not think this, the fried catfish sandwich here at Moe's is a like under the radar, very highly regarded sandwich here in the area. So lots of cool stuff other than what you may associate the staples that they've got here here at Moe's. You can also get the catfish as part of the platter if you don't want it as a sandwich. You can also get it as one of the proteins there in the platter. And again, shout out to Sensa Green, our friends at Sensa Green. For air that's cool and clean, Bill.
Call Sensa Green.
That's right. Call Sensa Green. You're looking for an update on the.
Yeah, I was just looking at the score, seeing who was. I couldn't tell who was.
I think that was Aberg. That was.
Did he just drop the 5-under? I believe he did.
I believe he did. Yeah. You got him and
Tom Holland.
Yep. Those two at the top. Cantlay, DeChambeau, Finau, among others at 4-under. But no, it should be. I mean, tightly bunched up with familiar names, which I'm sure is exactly.
And the score is getting closer and closer to par. At least the under pars are getting closer and closer to par.
That's got to be exactly what the TV audience wants. Familiar
USGA
names. Either familiar names or a Cinderella. You know, either way. But mm-hmm. but should be highly competitive tomorrow and Sunday. In North Carolina for the U.S. Open.
Yeah, now we mentioned a few times what a big recruiting weekend it is. It is Auburn looking to try to get as many players in this weekend as possible. They right now, I don't believe the plan is to have anybody in next weekend, which is the final weekend that players can be in before the dead period starts on June the 24th. And Auburn's got five of their commits coming in. And, you know, that's good when you can bring in players that are committed to you and use them, you know, have them try to recruit their peers.
Very, very important. Yeah, for sure, Bill. They are your best recruiters. And, you know, we always used to tell our guys that had committed, call this guy, you know, get a hold of this guy, go see this guy. But, yeah, you're right. That's a plus. If you've got five commitments and bringing in the other guys, and they can sell your program a lot better than you can.
Yeah, so nearly half the official visitors are Auburn commits, including J.J. Falk, younger brother of Keldrick Falk, the outstanding edge from Highland Home.
Yep.
Devin Williams is a four-star corner from Buford, Georgia.
Great program.
Texas is really, really trying to flip him. Carday Smith is a big offensive tackle from Williamson that Auburn has had committed for a while. Auburn's done a really good job on the offensive line, Don. I mean,
they have.
That's something.
That's a need, and they have done a good job.
Auburn had a period of 5 or 6 years where they didn't sign more than an average of one offensive lineman a year, and you can't do that. All of a sudden, you look up and you don't have any depth. You don't have if anybody gets injured, you've really got a huge problem there on the offensive line.
Cannot have enough O-linemen or D-linemen, and you're right. An O-lineman's a different guy. You know, he has to get in there. He has to learn, mature. They're a little bit slower usually with their development than a D-lineman. But you're right. You've got to have a stack of O-linemen.
Now, and again, don't hit me. I mean, but I'm simplifying a little bit. Defensive linemen are they're more in attack mode. I mean, right. you've got to have great technique.
I'll say it. The O-line are usually smarter.
Well, but there is more involved
right.
with
yes.
what they have
yes.
to do. What yes. they do depends on what the guy next to them is doing. I think more than they're on the defensive line.
Exactly. They have to identify the defense. They have to know which way to slide the protections, which linebackers to pick up. You're right. They got to pull. They got to trap. They got to block down. They got to double team a D lineman. You want him just to line up when that ball snaps. Go.
Yeah, and of course you teach him. You teach him
right.
the ways,
right.
the best ways to be able
right.
to be successful there.
Yes.
The other commit that's coming in for Auburn is Dante Corr, the cornerback out of Fort Walton Beach.
Hey.
So those are the five.
Is it Choctaw guy? Or Fort Walton.
Just Fort Walton.
Okay.
I believe.
All right.
Fort Walton High.
But I've always now Don, I'm going to sound like a homer here. I've always believed, and this maybe the evidence doesn't bear this out because I don't know exactly how many kids are coming from this area and going to Division I football every year.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always thought that it seems like because Auburn is the closest, certainly SEC school, but even Auburn and Florida State are the closest.
They are the two closest
power conference
yeah.
schools. Troy and South Alabama are also there. Hattiesburg's nearby, but that area between Mobile and Panama City, with the Panama City high schools, with Niceville, Fort Walton Beach,
yep.
Choctaw, Crestview,
yep. Pensacola,
and then on to the Pensacola schools, Gulf Breeze, Baker,
right.
along with the Pensacola schools, like that feels like an area that could be fertile recruiting ground for just feels logical for schools like Auburn and Florida State to hit those harder than – I know UCF is really focused. Gus has taken
right.
Mosley in Panama City has a couple of UCF recruits on the team right now. But that feels like an area where it would make a lot of sense for Auburn to mine for talent.
Yeah, you know, within, what, 300 miles or less? Yeah, for sure. And good football, good coaches. And I think I agree with you guys. That should be a great area.
You guys pursued a couple of nice field.
Yeah, Coach Dye was very much a believer in that.
Yes, we probably could have done a better job in that area.
Bama got once Saban showed up. Bama got Glenn Coffey out of there.
Right.
DJ Hall was
yes.
he was pre-Saban, but DJ Hall was also right. a four. I think those were both Fort Walton guys. Of course,
yep.
Werfel,
right.
You know, 30 years ago was down there.
Yeah.
Still, I mean, there's a street named after Danny and.
Yep.
In Destin because of his
Emmitt Smith was Pensacola.
Emmitt Smith in Pensacola.
Woo. Yeah.
Yeah, of course, Auburn really felt like they had him. But, I mean,
that feels
story.
A little bit like no man's land, though, because there isn't a big-time school in
right.
Panama
yeah.
City or in Niceville or in Pensacola playing
mm-hmm.
D1 ball. You know, it's always felt a little bit up in the air. I know Troy has tradition. I mean, Troy coaches
yeah.
were a staple
yeah.
at Niceville and Fort Walton games.
Right. Right.
When I was in high school,
Miss has done a good job
yeah,
in that
absolutely.
Area. Yeah.
Right. Southern Miss had a bit of a pipeline out of I think there was a year where I think 10 straight years either Choctaw or Walton Beach would send a kid to Southern Miss. You know that went for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It was Troy and Southern Miss were two schools
right.
where you would it was very commonplace. And pre moving up to D1, option era Georgia Southern would go to those games a lot too.
Mm-hmm.
Niceville sent a couple kids
yep.
to that Georgia Southern program when they were. I mean, now it's crazy to see them throwing the ball up and down the field with Clay Helton, but
yeah.
but that old school Georgia Southern
oh,
team,
yeah.
you know, when
yeah.
they were
Irk Russell and
D1AA,
yeah.
you know, the was it the other Adrian Peterson?
Yeah.
I want to say was one of them, not the famous one,
no,
mm-hmm. slightly less famous one, but the one people would take in their fantasy drafts by mistake. Thinking they were,
he was a different one. Yeah.
I've always rooted for kids coming out.
Oh, yeah.
out of that corner of Florida.
Yeah, we probably should have done more in that area, to be honest with you.
All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break, and we'll look at the players that Auburn would like to add to the commit list that are going to be visiting this weekend, and much more. Stick with us. as we head into the final half hour of the Friday Drive from Moe's Original Barbecue at Bent Creek.
And Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Back into the drive here on this Friday afternoon, a gorgeous, and it is really nice sitting inside and looking out at how nice the weather is.
No kidding.
When you're outside, it's really, really hot. But, I mean, it's going to be – looks like no chance of rain really for a few days. So, just be prepared. It's going to be hot. It is the middle of June, and that's no big surprise. We are comfortable as can be here at Moe's Original Barbecue on Bent Creek. Bill, Dan, Coach Dunn here. We'll be here for another 20 minutes or so, and I'm sure, guys, that Ludwig Åberg and Matthew Pavon were the first two names you thought of when you're thinking, all right, heading into the weekend, going into round three, they're likely to be your leaders.
Well, Aberg's somebody that people had in the top 10 in the odds. You know, he's not necessarily, you know,
no,
off
I'm
the
not
radar.
Saying they're but those aren't either name that everyone people were mentioning two or three. Players to keep an eye on.
Yeah, Pavon more of a long shot.
Yes,
but you're right. You know, it's not necessarily the top two that people had pegged for. You know, going into Saturday's action, Cantlay, DeChambeau, Finau, Rory McIlroy, among others that are trailing the leaders at the moment. But it's I still think it sets up to be
a
pretty interesting.
Oh, it does
last
because
two
everybody
days.
Is so bunched. Yeah. Anybody who. You know, has a great day can make a huge run here.
And if there was, if there was somebody running away with it, the question would be, you know, can they hold on?
Right.
But, you know, that the leaderboard right now they're showing everybody at even par or better. And I mean, I'd say about two dozen or so.
Yeah.
Golfers that could be, you know, within four or five strokes of being leading this thing or being tied.
Yep.
For the lead in this thing. You know, that could go either direction. So it's a. Yeah, a tension-filled next 48 hours in North Carolina for the U.S. Open.
It's going to be fun to watch. Really is. All right, I mentioned
finals tonight. You think it's over?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if it does get back to Boston because it goes back there for five, right?
I thought they did 2-3-2.
It was 2-2-1-1-1.
No, game five will be in Dallas.
Okay.
It's 2-3-2.
Well, then it's not getting back. No, it's not getting back to Boston. May not be tonight, but it still won't get back to Boston. The Celts will win at least one of the next two.
Game four.
They can't win both. I mean, they're going to win one before it gets back to Boston.
Game four tonight on ABC. You can catch it on ESPN 106.7, ESPN Radio's coverage of the Celtics and the Mavericks in the NBA Finals. We'll also have... Yankees Red Sox
that
on
right.
ESPN Radio this weekend.
That's a pretty good rivalry.
Pretty good stuff. Pretty good Yankees team
so far.
Year with
so far they've been unbelievable.
Soto making a play for $500 million or so.
Yes, he has, and Aaron Judge has had a ridiculous last month.
Game five, if there is one in the NBA Finals, would be Monday night, also in Dallas. But yeah, you got tonight's game. Celtics up 3-0 in the series, looking to close it out. Would just be again. I'm amazed by this. Would just be the second Celtics title since Larry Bird retired.
That is crazy.
I mean, to think, you know, they're as prominent as they were, 17
wow.
or 18 titles overall.
I didn't know that.
They won 11 in 13 years or whatever.
They won 11 in 13 years, but since I believe their most recent championship was 2009 with Kevin Garnett and that team 2008 with Garnett and Ray Allen and Paul Pierce. Before that, 86. Was their last championship?
Wow!
With Larry Bird as part of that, you know, that incredible '80s run that they had, but they've been contending at different times during that window. But yeah, it would just be Boston's second championship in the last 35 years or so.
Yeah, that's crazy to think about.
And for you hockey fans, it's almost over.
Yep,
3-0 for the Florida Panthers.
It's been a while since Canada took one of these home, right?
I was shocked. I think it's 20 years,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
And they dominated the old Canadians.
Yeah, they felt, you know, that
They, Edmonton, Gretzky.
They are, they look down on any U.S. team.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
American teams. It's really too bad. Because those, especially the traditional Canadian franchises, like those fans are so, I mean, Toronto Maple Leafs fans are so, you know, so, I mean, Canadiens fans Oilers
sure.
fans. Yeah. I mean, there's so much passion there.
Then you got a team from South Florida. That's amazing.
But Florida's been on this run, you know. Yeah. I mean, we said a couple of years ago, like they were one of the more hapless pro sports franchises for a long time. Yeah. But here they are. Here they are in contention yet again, and like you said, Don, on the verge of a championship. They do rats in that's the, you know, the way like,
yeah,
like the octopus, like, yeah, the, you know, like the octopus and stuff. Like they throw the rats down there in down there in Florida. I like it.
I like the I like octopi better than rats. All right. Let's run down the other players that are visiting this weekend. These are players that are either uncommitted or are committed elsewhere that are visiting Auburn this weekend. And the list obviously starts with Juju Lewis. I mean, he is the top player on Auburn's board, on a lot of teams' board, the number one player in the country, the number one quarterback, obviously, from Carrollton, Georgia. Mm-hmm. He's been committed to Southern Cal. This is a situation. He was just in for a 7-on-7 camp a week or so ago, back for an official visit. This is a player that, I mean, Auburn really, really wants to get, but I think Hugh Freeze also wants to know where they stand. They want to have a quarterback on their commit list before they head into fall practice.
Yeah, I can understand that. I don't blame him at all, and the kid needs to let us know something. I just don't know why a kid from Georgia would go all the way across country. But,
well,
these
days travel doesn't mean anything.
I know.
Kids will head anywhere.
You got a chance to play in the SEC close to home. And, you know, Georgia's been so good to Auburn over the years with players. But, you know, like you said, it doesn't mean anything to them now to get on a plane and go cross country.
No.
Yeah, I can see why Coach, he needs to find something out, I'm sure.
Well, I mean, because Auburn has very much stayed in the picture for K.J. Lacy from Saraland, who's committed to Texas. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's a guy that they would really like to get if they don't get Juju Lewis. But you don't want to be having one guy string you along while you lose ground on another.
Exactly.
That's one of the toughest things about recruiting.
Yeah, that's what gets you. That drives you nuts as a coach. You think you got a guy, and then he doesn't make a decision. Oh, he's leaning here. He's not leaning here. What's this guy going to do? It all depends on you. And like you said, how you balance your roster. And you got to have one. So,
well, and you want to be as fair as you can with them.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't be, let's face it, you can't be 100%
no,
up front all the time, because you don't know the answer to the question.
Right.
But, I mean, you don't want to be stringing somebody along that you feel like, well, if we get somebody else, we're not going to need you. But then you don't want to be left in the lurch in case you don't get that number one target.
Exactly. It's a science. It's tough.
Oh, it is. And Hugh Freeze has done a great job at it through his career.
They've done a good job.
And they're continuing to do well. Also, another five-star in this weekend, Alabama commit Duke Johnson, linebacker out of Dodge County, Georgia, that Auburn and DJ Durkin are really, really targeting.
That feels like we're the Dutton brothers. Should
Duke
be.
Johnson and the Duttons,
from Dodge,
it does.
From Dodge County,
Dodge City.
That's what it sounds like. Gunsmoke.
Yeah,
oh,
really.
Man. Are they coming by train?
They're coming by stagecoach.
At high noon, is that when they get here?
Yeah. Also coming in, a player that Auburn has been pursuing for quite a while, and Georgia has really pushed hard for Eric Winters, who is an outstanding athlete out of Enterprise. I mean, a big safety, another guy that looks almost like a linebacker when you see him, but, man, he can run. And I've seen quite a few folks feeling like he made a visit to Georgia last weekend, and Georgia felt like they were going to get a commit from him. They did not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of the recruiting analysts feel like that is really, really good news for Auburn with him coming in for his official this weekend.
If you can get him on campus, like you said, Bill, and they have not committed, that's a positive. After he's been to Georgia.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Also coming in, a teammate of Juju Lewis, Four-star cornerback Shamar Arnoux, who is being recruited by Florida State, Florida State, Georgia, and Tennessee. Mm. And then another tight end. Man, you, there's no question Auburn is really, really wanting to add some tight ends. They've got, is it three or four tight ends, I guess, that are using up their eligibility this year. But tight ends are definitely a part of the offensive plan for Hugh Freeze. And they're bringing in Hollis Davidson, who is a tight end out of McIntosh, Georgia. And then another edge out of Benedictine Military School in Georgia, Herbert Scroggins. And the final non-commit is Dwayne Morris, who is a three-star running back. Auburn, you know, Auburn wants to sign two running backs for next year. I mean, if they have a situation now, let's face it, I mean, with the terrible situation with Brian Battee, they only have three scholarship running backs this year. And Jarquez Hunter, you know he won't be back after this season.
Right.
And you need to have four running backs on your roster. So yes, they want to sign two running backs. So we'll see how things go with Dwayne Morris.
Are there walk-on options on the team right now to promote from within at running? I know because
you had
Sean
fact,
Jackson.
Yeah.
But I know there's the other guy. I know.
I'm blanking on his name right now. He's pretty good.
You want to take a break and look it up?
Pretty good size running back that is Auburn's probably fourth option right now. Yeah, we'll get to our final break as we're approaching the top of the hour. That'll wrap things up, but still a few more minutes. One more segment here on the Friday Drive from Moe's Original Barbecue at Bent Creek.
Hey, this is Billy Plummer here with the Apex.